Sadly, the ancient and traditional way of leading Christians onward through meditation to contemplation by using the scriptures was lost sight of over the centuries for a series of reasons that are fortunately no longer relevant today. You see, when Christianity spread along the famous roads built by the Romans, it found itself in rather rude and primitive surroundings compared with the sophisticated empire into which it was born. So from the earliest times, it had always been the custom to translate the liturgy and the scriptures into the language of the people. However, how could you do this when the people had no language, or at least no written language, sufficiently developed to allow such a translation to take place? Then, by the time this became possible and more people were able to read, it was reformers unacceptable to the traditional church who first gave the people the Word of God in their own language. That is why the church has, for so many centuries, frowned upon, if not positively discouraged, the reading of the scriptures for the laity, although, thankfully, this is now ended. During these centuries, when ordinary people were starved of the scriptures, it was the prerogative of great saints and spiritual leaders to present the central mysteries of the faith to people in a way that they could be led on into deep prayer. Simple devotions grew up for the illiterate, techniques of mental prayer were introduced, and methods of prayer came into vogue, culminating in the meditation manuals that we have known almost up to the present day. Now, many of these helps to prayer have stood the test of time, like the Rosary, the Stations of the Cross, devotions to the Sacred Heart, the exercises of St. Ignatius, for example, and many others. In general, these various improvisations were excellent because they genuinely represented the authentic teaching and spirit of the Gospels. Insofar as they continue to do this, they can be used and used with profit to help guide people to genuine sanctity, as they have done in the past for centuries. However, the scriptures have been opened up to all once more, so they ought to be put in pride of place as the means of guiding any serious searcher through meditation to the profound contemplative union with the one who inspired the sacred scriptures in the first place. There is one traditional form of prayer that embraces almost all the others and can be taught to children even before they can read and write. For centuries, it has guided the faithful from the foothills of the spiritual life to the heights, without them ever realizing what was happening. That's why you rarely find arrogance or pride in someone whose spiritual ascent has been made thanks to the Rosary. That is why Pope Leo XIII said that it is an incomparable prayer, the layperson's breviary, that can lead onwards to the heights of sanctity. A person may begin by just saying each individual prayer slowly and prayerfully, trying to grasp their inner meaning, then making them their own. Then, in time, they learn how to recite them in such a way that the usual distractions are sedated so that they can meditate on each individual mystery in turn. Gradually, meditation turns into a profound, loving contemplation as the most lovable human being the world has ever known is seen doing the most human things in the world and with such love, and then being hated to death for doing them. When this happens, the beads no longer need to be counted, nor do the prayers need to be said, as a few heartfelt words rise from within to express feelings that begin to overflow for the one whose love seems to surpass the understanding. Then, when words give way to moments of joyous contemplative stillness, there is no need to do anything but to savor in silence the fullness that has been received and experienced. When these moments pass and distractions reappear, then it's time to return to counting the beads again and concentrating on each successive prayer, or to meditating on the mysteries once more. When moments of darkness come and dryness and aridity seem to make all else impossible, it's time to return to another form of prayer, traditionally called the prayer of the heart, or the prayer of faith, or the prayer of naked faith, because there is no heartfelt feeling to sustain it. It is designed to help keep the heart's desire fixed on God when the feelings and emotions that once helped it seem to do nothing but generate distractions. The prayer that is now counted on the beads may be simply, "Thy will be done, Jesus, mercy, Mary, help," or simply, "Jesus," or some other such prayer that expresses a person's deepest need when, as St. Teresa of Avila once put it, the well runs dry. This is how so many of our parents and grandparents were taught to pray, and then led into mystical contemplation by the Holy Spirit, without them even realizing it. Among the last words of Jesus in St. John's Gospel were these, "Blessed are they who have not seen, and yet learnt to believe." Throughout the subsequent centuries, Christian art has helped those who have not seen come to know and love not just the Christ who lived in history, but the Christ who still lives in majesty. As memories grew dimmer, Christian art became more and more important, particularly for those who were illiterate. The representations of Christ that dominated the first basilicas were of Christ in majesty, the Pantocrator, the ruler of all. This tended to make Christ appear as rather distant, until in the wake of the Crusaders, the Holy Land was open up to the West, and a new spirituality began to flourish, thanks to St. Bernard and St. Francis of Assisi, that emphasized the humanity of Christ once again. Their influence can be seen in painters like Giotto and in the great artists of the Renaissance. However, thanks to St. Margaret Mary, a new popular art began to represent not just Jesus as he was, but as he is now, with a glorified body bursting with uncreated love. The Sacred Heart is the same as the Pantocrator, but now he does not appear as distant, for he rules now with all the human love that filled Jesus while he was on earth, but transformed by what became of him in heaven. If devotion to the Sacred Heart has at times been trivialized by bad taste in the cult surrounding it, or the art used to promote it, it should never be forgotten that it proclaims a profound truth that is central to our faith. Jesus is not dead. He is risen and alive now, bursting with uncreated life and love that pours out of his heart relentlessly and into the hearts of all who would receive him. For two centuries, this devotion counteracted Catholic Calvinism, or Jansenism, as it came to be called, with its narrow-minded killjoy moralism, by proclaiming the love of the risen Christ in a way that even the simplest could understand. No one should allow their artistic sensibilities to prevent them from appreciating this profound truth that was revealed in a unique way to St. Margaret Mary. The Sacred Heart is not just incarnate love, but incarnate loving, who will transform all who will open their hearts to receive him.